Hello, welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo, and we're live here at Plaintree International Conference on Patient-Centered Care. I have with me today Jessica Hansen. Jessica is a registered nurse who works in Flagstaff, Arizona, and she's here to discuss her presentation on orchestrating death. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you here. Before we get going, could you tell us a little bit about your story and why you're here today?
Well, I am I'm a mother, but secondly, I'm a nurse. And I had an experience recently, 562 days ago, I had a child die traumatically. And I decided to take my experience as a trauma nurse in the operating room in combination with my experience as a mother who survived the death of a child who died traumatically. And I am recognizing that healthcare needs to change a little bit, that we need to start having conversations on how we can do death better. So I'm here presenting on something titled The Orchestration of Death. And it has the power to transform healthcare. I've seen it in Northern Arizona, and I've seen it happen, so I want to spread the word.
So as a father myself, I can't imagine what you went through. Is there any chance you could take us back to that moment 562 days ago and share that story? If it's too hard, that's okay.
Well, this is part of the conversation. This is part of let's be uncomfortable together. And you asking that, thank you, because it's uncomfortable for you to ask that. And it's equally as uncomfortable for me to answer, but we're human and I'm ready to have the conversation. So 562 days ago at 9:00 in the morning, I was asleep because I was upstairs after being in the emergency room all night. It was a horrible night. I got my tonsils removed as an adult. Bad news bear. And I was sleeping upstairs and I heard blood-curdling screams from my former spouse. He was devastated because he said there was a horrible accident. So the accident being, he ran over my son's face in our front yard. The moment that I realized that my life was going to forever be changed was horrific. It was like every cell in my body ached. It just rage and anger and pain and suffering. So I took all that and I turned it into something that's totally beautiful and something that's making a difference.
Now, before we get into that, you know, you're a nurse, but this is a very personal thing. You know, how were you able to get through that day and the subsequent ones?
So quite often I talk about being able to take a deep breath after something so traumatic. And it really does, when you lose something so huge, something that you created, it doesn't allow you to breathe appropriately. Like you're like, I can't do this. And part of my healing, part of my survival has been what happened in the trauma bay. What was it that helped me survive that day, that helped me wake up the next morning and live? And it was a beautiful death story. And I got to do things in my son's death. Like I did CPR on him and I sang to him after he died. And I had this incredible, breathtakingly beautiful death story. And I will tell you that death story that happened 562 days ago is the reason that I'm alive. It's the reason that I'm surviving. It's thriving. Like I am doing it because of what happened in that trauma bay.
So let's get into that death story a little bit. You know, for folks here and for folks at home, you know, where did you go from there? What, you know, you decided you wanted to do something with that. What did you decide to do?
Well, I decided to change the way we do death as healthcare professionals. I recognized that there was a need when I went to a pediatric advanced life support class. I wanted to get my PALS certification, and in that class, they talk specifically about how to break the news to a family member that's just lost a child. And in that class, don't get me wrong, PALS is done very nicely, and they did a video on coping with death. And so we watched this video, and the class, I looked around the class, and I'm like, okay, no one knows who I am here. This is a good place for me to be. And I listened to what they said after they watched the video, and they said things like, oh man, you gotta watch out for those crazy moms. You should get the crazy moms out of the room. Oh, I never cry in front of my family members. I don't want them to see me cry. I don't want to take away from their grief. And I recognize at that moment that I had to do something. I had to change the way that we do death in healthcare. And so I've put together this presentation. And it's not just a presentation. It's a clinical approach to death after realizing that there was a deep, deep need after that class. And I've given it 82 times now. And with every presentation I give, it's just about hoping one family can have a better death story, hoping that we can transform the way healthcare does death. And it's working.
We're talking to Jessica Hansen, registered nurse and creator of Orchestration of Death. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that program. So what does that program entail? What is your approach to, talking to people about such a delicate subject that all of us have difficulty discussing?
Well, essentially what I do is I start by saying, this is who I am. I am a trauma nurse. I am an open heart surgery nurse. I am a bad nurse at death, and I was. And so I explain who I was before his death. I explain that I avoided death like it was the plague. I explain how judgmental I was. I explain the epitome of what nursing does. The nursing, healthcare, I think we've really been taught to dehumanize the death experience. And so I talk about how did I dehumanize it, me personally, and then I get into the research that I've done around rehumanizing the death experience, and then I get into why I am so much better at death. So I talk about my son, I talk about his death experience, and it really just, it goes into this very tangible thing that people can do. It's like I give them tools such as, let's saturate the family senses. And we have five senses, right? And if we can help a family come into the death experience, if we can invite them into the death experience, if we can saturate all of their senses so they know it's true, then we're going to be giving them a gift. And so it's an explanation of how things are, how things could be, and the tools that we need to get them where they should be.
Do you feel that there's a gap in the current education you might receive clinically about how to talk to family members about death?
So, yeah, absolutely. And it's, yes, there's just so much. And in fact, I was talking to one of my friends who's a surgeon about coming out and doing this presentation. And I said, you know, I'm going to go teach people how to talk about death. I'm going to teach people how to do death, and specifically pediatric, but I think it can go into all different aspects. And she goes, I was in school for so many years and no one ever taught me how to talk about this. No one ever taught me how to have those difficult conversations. And so we have the conversations, we do it. We talk about it. There is a complete disconnect in education. I think didactically I had a PowerPoint on death and grief and suffering, and it was like, these are the five stages, death is really bad, and we don't really want to talk about it anymore, so next subject. And it was. And so the conversations that I start really is not that innovative. It's just that I have the guts to say it. It's that I have the passion behind getting in front of people and talking about the worst day of my life over and over and over again in hopes that it's going to make a difference. And so it's working. There is no education on this, no didactic education that you can really grab onto and use in your clinical profession.
So when you say it's working, I understand that you've put some of these principles into play at your medical center. Can you speak to us a little bit about those outcomes?
Oh my goodness, I would love to, because I think that as far as the orchestration of death, and it's just turning into who, to what we do. And so I'll have people call me, and I got one call at 2 o'clock in the morning recently, and an emergency room nurse said to me, "Jessica, I orchestrated death today. Can I talk to you about it? Are you busy?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm asleep, so I'm not really busy, but yeah, let's hear about it." And so part of my presentation is saying that we need to saturate those senses, right? And after somebody dies, we need to be able to touch our loved ones. We need to be able to kiss them goodbye. And that is so important. And so she said to me, I had a 14-year-old come in who committed suicide. He shot himself in the head. And she's like, "And boy, did I orchestrate this death, Jess." And she said, I know how important it was for you to hold Mason. And how was I going to put this 14-year-old boy in his mother's lap? It's not possible. So she said, "I brought a gurney in and had mom lay next to her son." And that's what I'm talking about. And I said, "You're perfect. That's it. Like, you orchestrated death. You let that mom hold her son for 30 extra minutes. That was the last time she was ever going to feel his physical body, and there she was. She was feeling him." That mom was so appreciative of that. She wrote the CEO and said that your nurses are amazing. They let me touch my son after he had died. They let me do whatever I wanted to do in this process. And so that's just one of so many. I had another nurse contact me. This happens to me all the time. I have people like, "Hey, Jess, can I come to your yoga class and then we'll go talk about how I orchestrated death?" Absolutely. Absolutely, because I want to hear about your success stories, because they're not my success stories. They came from my education, but they're not mine. And I had a 8-month-old that came in and had found in his crib, and they were doing CPR, and everybody knew that the baby was dying. And the nurses in the room all have had my education, and they said, "We got to get that father in here. We have to have him touch his, I don't know if it was, I think it was a boy's foot. We have to have him touch his son's foot." And I think we oftentimes get protective of our own self. So a lot of times people are like, "Oh no, I don't want the family in there because I don't want them to see me doing a mistake." But they said, "No, get in here, Dad. Get in here, Mom. Touch your child. Watch your child die and hold them so you can feel the warmth leave their body. This is a beautiful gift that we can give to our families. It's so much a part of us, so much a part of healthcare is helping patients die well."
So maybe people that haven't been through your program, that don't know how to do this, but are listening at home, and maybe they're going through a similar situation, how would they maybe talk to the staff at another facility to say, "Hey, I need to do this. This is important to me"?
As far as?
Like, if I was coming in a room and I was about to experience a loss, and, you know, I was getting that treatment, like, "We don't want you in the room." You mentioned, like, a fear of making a mistake. Like,
yeah.
How could I convey the importance that it would be for me to say that final goodbye?
Well, I think that we oftentimes get confused that we don't have permission. And quite frankly, if you are going and you are participating in an active participant in somebody's death, you can ask for permission if you'd like, if that would make you feel better. "Can I please hold my mom's hand as you're doing CPR? Can I please be in here with her for a few hours after she's died? What can I do this?" And I think 99% of the time, you're going to get absolutely, absolutely, because I think that we're so concerned as healthcare professionals on how to approach death that we don't even know what to say. We don't know what to do. So we just retract. And so if somebody came to us and said, can I please touch my son? The answer is yes, 100% of yes. It's just having the innate wisdom to say, I think this is what I'm going to need. And in fact, this is what I'm going to take. And that's what I did. I didn't ask for permission. I just did what I felt I needed to do when my son died.
We're talking to Jessica Hansen, RN, creator of Orchestration for Death, or of Death. Sorry about that. As we're starting to get towards a close here, we want to know, what kind of closing thoughts could you leave with our audience? Do you have a couple of takeaways that maybe everybody on both sides of the table need to know?
Well, I think that the takeaway from my presentation, the takeaway from this podcast, is we need to do a few things in death. Well, one, we need to invite the family in. Two, we need to saturate their senses and let them know that the death is true. Three, we need to empower them to make their own decisions. Four, we need to prepare. We need to have those uncomfortable conversations about death. I quite frequently tell people, I want you to go home and talk about your child dying. I want you to create a death story for your child. We spend 9 months planning a birth story, and we spend about 10 seconds planning a death story. So here's what we should do. Let's talk about it. Let's prepare. So invite, saturate, empower, prepare, and most importantly, is heal. And this is not just the family. I'm not talking about the family here because I'm a healthcare professional. I've seen a lot of death, and it's hard for my heart to recover after that death. So if we can heal, or an idea for healing, rather, would be, let's orchestrate death. And who is that going to help? Well, it's going to help the healthcare professionals because they are giving the family a beautiful death story, and it's also going to help the families because they're receiving a beautiful death story. So here's this tool in our toolbox to orchestrate death and to help healthcare professionals survive, and it also helps patients and patients' families live another day and go on. It's quite a beautiful thing if you think about it.
So for those that want to learn more about orchestration of death, how can they connect with you?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because I just created a website titled www.project660.com. And it's linked to my Facebook page. It's linked to Mason's Memorial Garden. I'm out there, so find me.
Well, I notice, you know, before I let you go, we've talked about a lot of heavy stuff. What is 660? We had 562, which is a very meaningful number. And what is the 660?
So Mason was alive for 660 glorious, beautiful days. And when I realized that that's how long he was alive for, I was like, whoa, I need to do something different. I need to do something in my life that is powerful. And so I take those days and I look at my tomorrow like I only have 660 days left. And so inevitably what I found is I am living insanely well. I am loving deeper. I am laughing harder. I love my life. And so 660 to me is love your life, live your life, do something you're passionate about, make a difference. It's powerful.
And we really appreciate you sharing that passion with us today. You're such a courageous woman. I just have deep admiration for who you are and what you do and why you do it. Thank you so much, Jessica, for coming here with us today. We really appreciate having you.
Thank you so much for letting me talk.
That's been Jessica Hansen, RN Flagstaff, RN up in Flagstaff, and the creator of Orchestration of Death. And we'll have the links to her site on our website. Thank you for tuning in. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm Matt Cavallo, and I look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.